Good afternoon. It's 5:06 and 85 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Tanner Boyd. Two women in Floyd County are facing charges after a drug bust. A new study ranks Kentucky dead last when it comes to its overall economy and jobs. Mask maker 3M alleges a Lexington company has sold more than a million fake N95 respirators. The University of Kentucky is sticking with plans to not mandate the COVID-19 vaccination. And Lexington is now outpacing 2020's deadly record of homicide investigations. In sports, the Kentucky Derby runner-up has picked up another major win. Clear skies tonight with a low around 57 degrees. We'll have a look at your region's extended weather forecast after this news. Two women are facing charges following a tip Friday night in Floyd County. WMKY's Shamari Mosley reports.
Deputies from the Floyd County Sheriff's Office say they were following up on a report on the whereabouts of a fugitive at a home in Hueysville. When they arrived at the scene, they found 44-year-old Myrtle Little of Lackey and 42-year-old Elsie Cecil of Hueysville, along with baggies containing more than 40 grams of suspected meth, prescription pills, hallucinogenic mushrooms, drug paraphernalia, and hundreds of dollars in cash. According to WIMT, both were taken into custody and are charged with multiple counts of drug trafficking. They were taken to the Floyd County Jail. For WMKY News, I'm Shamari Mosley.
Mask maker 3M alleges that a Lexington company has sold more than a million fake N95 respirators, but the company is denying the accusation. The action is nothing new for 3M, which has been cracking down on businesses accused of putting phony N95 masks on the market since the height of the pandemic. This is 3M Senior Vice President Kevin Rhodes discussing the problem with CNBC back in November.
Often these counterfeit production facilities are not exactly, you know, garage operations. They are relatively sophisticated in size and scale.
The mask maker says it worked with U.S. Marshals to seize upwards of a million of the sought-after respirators from Old World Timber. 3M says it was alerted to the potential problem by customers unsure if the products were legitimate. But Old World Timber is pushing back on the allegation, saying in a statement to media that the company has, quote, no interest in purchasing, marketing, or selling counterfeit masks and is working toward a settlement with 3M. Lexington is now outpacing 2020's deadly record of homicide investigations. According to Lexington Police Department's crime data, 13 of this year's 18 homicide victims were in their 20s or younger, including one of the latest victims, a 28-year-old. The feeling of a vicious cycle has community activists calling for change. Corey Dunn tells WKYT the key is reaching kids early before they can get caught up in violence and putting more money and resources into mentorships and community center programs.
We have a lot of children out here have nowhere to go. Our community centers are opening or reopening, but that doesn't mean that they're necessarily able to meet the needs of the community. Part of the problem is, you know, budget issues.
Dunn adds the behavior is becoming common and regular, but it's still not acceptable. One man is dead after an overnight crash in downtown Lexington. The crash happened around 1:45 a.m. Sunday on West High Street near Oliver Lewis Way. A man apparently drove into a pole there. It's the same location where another deadly crash happened around a month ago. Police tell WKYT there was only one person in the car. He has not been identified. Lexington police are now investigating the accident. The director of the Centers for Disease Control is urging parents to get their kids vaccinated against COVID-19 after a spike in hospitalizations among young people. In a tweet, Governor Andy Beshear says the infection rates in the state are also climbing. As a result, the Madison County School District provided walk-in vaccine clinics earlier last week. Erin Stewart is with Madison County Schools. She tells WKYT, the more kids get vaccinated means more opportunities for students returning to school in the fall.
Kids are no different than adults, and in the respect that we need social interaction. We need to be involved in things. We need to be in a room with a teacher where we can ask questions and clearly understand everything that's being taught.
At Cottle and Ferristown Middle Schools in Berea, clinics are already underway. While the goal is to give shots to young people, anyone 12 or older can head to a clinic to get the Pfizer vaccine. According to the CDC, more than 40% of the country is fully vaccinated for COVID-19. However, individuals are wondering what they need to do if they are fully vaccinated and exposed to someone who has tested positive. Sarah Corsi tells Wave 3 she was exposed to coworkers who tested positive during a work trip with people who were not vaccinated.
Everybody needs to get their vaccine. It's very important.
The CDC says even if the risk of a fully vaccinated person still contracting COVID-19 is low, a person should isolate themselves and get tested if showing symptoms. We'll have a further look of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Papa John's Pizza in the Patrick Center, Moorhead. Papa John's made-to-order specialty pizzas include The Works, Garden Fresh, Zesty Italian Trio, and Fiery Buffalo Chicken. Side items and desserts include garlic knots, breadsticks, chicken wings, chocolate chip cookie, and double chocolate chip brownie. Curbside pickup or delivery in Moorhead and Rowan County. Papa John's can be reached at 784-3551 and online at papajohns.com.
The University of Kentucky is sticking with its plan not to mandate COVID-19 vaccination, but as WUKY's Josh James explains, unvaccinated employees, students, and visitors to campus will still be required to wear masks indoors and in crowded areas outdoors.
Starting Monday, June 14th, those who are vaccinated will not be required to wear facial coverings outside or inside non-UK healthcare buildings. The school says there is also no need for anyone who's received the shots to fill out the university's daily online screener. No quarantine or tracing protocols will apply to the vaccinated either. It's a different picture, however, for people who have not been inoculated. They will still need to fill out the screener and remain subject to contact tracing, while unvaccinated students physically returning to campus will be required to undergo entry and ongoing testing. Meanwhile, offices and classrooms are set to return to normal configurations. Athletic events will restart at full capacity, and UK will remove language discouraging domestic travel while strongly urging vaccination before boarding a plane. In Lexington, I'm Josh James reporting.
Officials say tourism is being impacted by staff shortages across Kentucky. While people might be ready to drink bourbon, visit museums, or meet horses, finding a place to stay when in the Bluegrass State may be difficult. Hank Phillips with the Kentucky Tourism Industry Association tells WKYT hotels are the main tourism entity struggling because of the labor shortage.
As rooms are vacated, they don't have enough housekeepers to turn the rooms, to clean the rooms in time for the next round of guests. And so it's having this effect of limiting, for many hotels, limiting the number of rooms they can have available.
Phillips said full recovery for the industry is still far away, and the labor shortage is only making things harder, but he is optimistic about changes. A new study ranks Kentucky dead last when it comes to its overall economy and jobs. The Wallet Hub study, Kentucky ranked 50th among U.S. states for jobs and its economic environment, but 41st for its job market. Jill Gonzalez is an analyst with Wallet Hub. She says the study can be a catalyst for change.
Well, you know, it's certainly something to think about. I mean, I think after 2020, a lot of people are rethinking jobs as a whole, what kind of work they want to be in. Do they want to work remotely? Do they want to relocate? So certainly is something to think about when you're looking at Kentucky.
The study looked at 35 indicators of job and economic strength, analyzing data over the last 7 years. Kentucky's highest rankings include 16th for its average commute time. Kentucky's highest ranking included 16th for its average commute time, 22nd for its unemployment rate, and 23rd for job opportunities. Part of Appalachia's health hardships come from a lack of access to fresh foods. The IGA in Salyersville is one of only two grocery stores in the entirety of Magoffin County, a population of over 12,000 people. Not only do some families have to travel miles to get to a grocery store, some of those rural stores struggle to keep their lights on. Jed Weinberg with CW Foods tells WKYT the Mountain Association intends to help stores with their electric bills by installing solar panels on their roofs.
When you think of solar, you don't think of Kentucky. It's not the first thing you think of. I mean, I've personally been in the fossil fuel business a long time, but the technology is getting better. It's getting cheaper and more efficient.
Once the panels are on the roof, the Salyersville IGA should see a savings of 25 to 30% on their electric bill, and the panel installation is expected to be completed this summer. A federal infrastructure bill may be on the ropes, but Kentucky's top transportation official says he's hoping Cincinnati's Brent Spence Bridge will be a top candidate for improvements, no matter the size of a funding package. The heavily traveled artery connecting northern Kentucky and Cincinnati was labeled functionally obsolete decades ago, but the strain on the structure remains. In all, the bridge regularly handles twice the amount of traffic it was designed to carry. Kentucky Transportation Secretary Jim Gray calls the bridge the poster child for infrastructure in need of attention. And taking a quick look at sports, Kentucky Derby runner-up Mandaloon overcame a tough trip and a stubborn rival in Weyburn to win the $150,000 Pegasus Stakes on Sunday at Monmouth Park. It was Mandaloon's first race since Derby, and it wasn't an easy race for the 3-10 favorite. Mandaloon and jockey Florent Giroux were pinched back to the last in the five-horse field shortly after the start. Mandaloon ranged into contention on the final turn and looked poised to power to victory at the top of the stretch. Weyburn refused to back down, battling back in the deep stretch to narrow the final margin to only a neck. And taking a look at the weather forecast for the WMKY listening area tonight, mostly clear with lows around 57. Tomorrow sunny with highs near 77. Tomorrow night mostly clear with lows around 57. Wednesday sunny with highs near 74. Wednesday night mostly clear with lows around 51. Thursday sunny with highs near 78. Thursday night mostly clear with lows around 56. And Friday mostly sunny with highs near 85. And that's it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Leanne Akers, Paul Hitchcock, Greg Jenkins, Carrie Stambo, Jonathan Burton, Cassidy Stearman, Ethan Jenkins, Shamari Mosley, Wiley Tanner, Keneally Roberts, and WUKY's Josh James. Our theme music is composed and performed by Allison Brown. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, Kentucky. Our show is archived daily on the web at wmky.org. For all of the MSPR News team, I'm Tanner Boyd for WMKY News. Now, back to All Things Considered.